Jesus is there. Amen. Your doctor may be a good help, but he ain't no cure. And you may have a good friend, but there's no better friend than Jesus. And God's gave us each other to keep us reminded. I can't be your best friend. And let me tell you, some of you, I haven't gotten around to shake your hand, hug you, or whatever. Just give me a few more hours. I'll catch up with you. But know that I love you, and I missed you. But Jesus never fail you. Amen. So I'm glad to be back. Folks, let's take our Bible, turn to James, please. I want to talk to you about a new subject this month. We're talking about separation, being faithful in our separation. You know, you are different, amen? Since you got saved, something happened, amen? And if you look at James chapter... chapter 4... In verse 8, just the first part, we'll come back to it. I've got some scriptures to look at this morning. I worked on three messages trying to get this one done. So pray for me, amen. Because this is a wonderful and a very important and a vital subject. If you look at James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, I already read my Bible. I read the last chapter. I know He wants to draw nigh to me. Amen. He's waiting for me to want to draw nigh to Him. And the privilege is that I get to get close to God. I don't know, maybe there's somebody very special in life. Maybe there's a hero. Maybe there's somebody that's very famous to you that you wish you could get close to. Let me tell you, there is Almighty God that you can get very close to. You can boldly come before the throne. You can call Him Abba. You can crawl up in His lap and say, Daddy, I need something bad. And He says, tell me about it. Take your Bible now. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Go back to the left. I want to talk about learning to live differently than the world we live in. You heard about the frog, didn't you? Frog sitting there and he saw this little pond of water. He's up on a stove. And he's jumping along. Jump, jump. And he sees this pond of water jumping up. He says, that looks nice. No lily pad, but maybe I could just float in there for a little while. So he jumps in this pot. In comes, forget the second part. But anyway, he's up there and he says, boy, this is nice, you know. You know what he is? He's called an amphibian. He doesn't have his own temperature. So he takes on the temperature of what's outside. And he's sitting there swimming in that. This is like a little swimming pool and he's swimming around. He says, this is great. It's nice temperature. It's not freezing cold like the water is outside. And he's just swimming along. And over a period of time, now... Just before that, Mama had gone in there and turned on the stove to heat up the water to start a stew. Well, that frog sitting in there swimming along doesn't realize it, but over time, he gets cooked. And he thinks it's the best thing ever because he took on the temperature of the outside and he never realized it. And a lot of Christians are taking on the influence of the world and not realizing it. God says we can draw nigh unto Him. But in order to draw nigh unto Him, we're going to have to separate ourselves from some things. Do you understand? Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 17. Wherefore? Here's a conclusion statement. You learn what chapter 6 is talking about. You get to chapter 17. Sometimes wherefore means why. Sometimes, if not most time, it means therefore. It's another therefore. He says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye, what's the word? That's our key word this month. Be ye separate. Be someone that is different, saith the Lord. This is not Paul talking. Who's doing the talking? Who's the commander? The Lord or the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, one more. Hebrews 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 26. Hebrews 7, 26, speaking of Jesus. And I love, look at verse 25. Hebrews 7, 25, almost to the end of your Bible, but come back a bit. Wherefore, again, here's our wherefore. He is able also to save them, how far? To the uttermost. That simply come unto God by Peter, by the church, just by Him. All you got to do is get to God by Jesus. Look at what it says. Seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us. He was this high priest, somebody says that dress is very becoming to her. It's very appropriate. It's just right for her. Hey, he was just right for us. Amen. For such a high priest became us, who is holy. Jesus is not some long-haired hippie having a party. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, some people think that they can live it up here, and then they'll go to heaven, they'll live it up there. No, you won't. He is holy. I love the next word. Harmless. You ever feel like he's about to kill you? He ought to. But he's harmless. Next one. Undefiled. Don't let this world drag that name down into the gutter. He is undefiled. Separate from sinners. He's different. Amen? And made higher than the heavens. This morning I want to talk to you about being a separated Christian. And it's a hard subject to hear. You say, why? Because it's offensive when somebody tells you to stop doing something. It's offensive when somebody's saying, you're wrong, amen? Nobody likes it. I've had to fire people. It was more unpleasant for me than for them, but they thought I was just being mean. No, they were being lazy and I had to fire them. I didn't want to. And you know that when somebody sets you down and says, there's a problem, when there's a problem in your home, you just want to get back at them, amen? It is hard to hear someone tell you to not do something, amen? And that you ought to be doing something else. But did you know that's what church is for? I ain't going to come here and make you feel good unless you're right with God, amen? Then you'll feel very good, amen? And people don't want anyone to tell them not to do something. People don't want anybody to tell them stop their drinking. And I mean stop it. There ought to be no Christian in this room who ever picks up a single pint, picks up a single thimble full of alcohol. Why? Because you're Christian. You're different. You're separate. You're not coping anymore. Amen? You're more than conquerors. Hey, you may not like it, but you should never pick up a cigarette. You shouldn't touch the unclean thing. My wife was reading a book and she said, ooh, listen to this. You know, some people when they go into church, they make the sign of the cross. There are some people who when they go into church, they make another sign. One last puff and then off goes the butt. Amen? That's their last sign before they go in the church. You know what? They know that you don't carry a cigarette into a church. You know what my Bible says? Our bodies are the temple. So what are you doing? Putting that filthy weed into the temple. Amen. See, you don't like me already. Would you go back to Texas? See, I'm gonna have to tell you straight up. When you become separated, it's because you're putting distance between something that is wrong in your life and you and God, so that you can get close to God. Doctors gave up a long time ago trying to tell people to stop smoking and to eat right. They just say, here, take a pill. That's what they say, because they gave up. You know, somebody's sitting over there and he weighs 4,000 pounds, you know. And he comes in by crane and he says, what's my problem? And the doctor goes, you're not going to listen to me. Amen. Well, you're going to listen to me today. Amen. And this whole month, we're going to talk about separation. It is vital, folks. Living clean and living godly as a Christian is a vital part of the Bible and has to be preached. I don't like hypocrites any more than you do. Amen? Do you like them? You don't like it when you see it in yourself. So I want to help you. It is the Christian life. It is not my intention to offend anybody or hurt you or to step on your toes, even though I might. I will. I just want you to understand what biblical separation is and how vital it is to practice it individually and as a church. This month we're going to look hard at several issues and practices of God's people and for us so we can consider how we're living. I don't want you to become irritated and upset, but to simply consider how you're living and whether God means it when He calls us to live differently than the world. There's a great thought I read by a man named Vance Havner. He said this, we are not to be isolated as Christians, but rather insulated. Think about that. Moving in the midst of an evil world, but never touching it. Separation is contact without contamination. Hey, you know, Jesus didn't live in a hut somewhere, did he? What does the Bible say? He ate with publicans and sinners. He touched the lepers, but he never took on their leprosy, did he? He lived among those who needed him most, but he never became like them. He asked them to become like him. There's a difference, isn't there? Isn't it refreshing just to see how clear our call is? Father, please bless these thoughts and this challenge to us, Lord, this month to be faithful in our separation. We've always been separate. Even before we were born, we belonged to you. We just didn't know it. And Lord, it's a wonderful revelation that you wanted us. The world, the flesh, and the devil lied to us. The devil, Lord, the devil told us that we didn't need God. We just needed to think about ourselves, only just to focus on our needs. And we never knew we needed Jesus most of all. Lord, in this time, I pray that as we draw nigh and close to you, you would help us, like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6, to look at ourselves and say, woe is me. I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I want to be clean. Lord, I pray that you'd meet with us and teach us and help every person in this room evaluate their relationship with you. And if they're not born again, they get saved today. They don't put it off. And if they are born again, they get separated today. They put some things down and never pick them up. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what is biblical separation? What does this word mean? All right? It doesn't mean giving away all your money and living like a monk, living celibate or as a hermit. It's simply and most powerfully, and I wish you could, because we're going to quote this the whole month, but it simply means being fundamentally different from the world around us. Not just on the outside. It'd be a terrible thing for somebody to come to this church. Now, when I first got saved, my hair was down here. When I first went to church, my hair was down here. Let me just backtrack a little bit further. 17 years old, I was mown, man, I was only 17. Had my hair down to here, had my bell bottoms out to there. You know, had my psychedelic shirt. You know, I was an Egypt of the first degree. And you know, a rebel through and through. And I'm sitting in church, it would have been a travesty if I sat in church and I saw everybody with their nice haircuts, with their suits or with their nice pants, and I just said, I'm just going to go get a haircut. I'm going to get me some nice pants. I'm going to wear a button-down shirt. I'll even wear a tie. I would still go to hell. No matter how good I looked, no matter how well I dressed, no matter how controlled I may have my tongue, I'd still split hell wide open because I was not born again. Do you understand? So don't get this idea we're talking about being separate means that, oh, I got to get a haircut, I got to do the. The first thing you need to do is you must be born again. And it means being fundamentally different. I want to have short hair. I want to look right. I want to look like a man. It's not right that you can't tell if he's a he or a she. Let me be even more plain. It is wrong if your coworkers can't tell if you're saved. It's just as wrong. Amen. I want to look right. I want my tongue under control. I want to, on Sunday, dress my best. I don't mean that I dress to kill. But this is the Lord's day, and it's for His glory. But these don't make me right. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need to be fundamentally different than the world so that I have no problem putting on a tie. Amen. I was in a church. I was in a lot of different churches. Some of them were good. Some of them were not good. And the pastor got up and he had on his casual clothes. And a few hours later, he was having a marriage renewal. You know what he said? I got to get home and put on a tie. But for church, the pastor just looked like somebody who went to a game. Amen. Do you see the problem there? Well, now I wear a tie because it's more important. I think it's very important right now what we're doing. This is very important, amen? So this is a core. See, he's not fundamentally different than the world. Sometimes, maybe. And I'm asking you to evaluate, am I fundamentally different than the world or do I just sort of just blend? And the words in the Bible are set apart. What a wonderful phrase. Under the Old Testament, somebody that's set apart was sanctified. Aaron was set apart. He was anointed with oil from the top of his head down to the toes. He was holy. He wore a mitre, which was like a crown, on his head that said, "Holiness unto the Lord." Speaking of him, he was consecrated, dedicated to God. We have plenty of our children that we brought and we've dedicated them to God, but we've never dedicated our own lives. In simple terms, it means putting space between you and sin. Between you and the world that you live in. And there's never been a day where this world has been right. Amen. How many of you have watched, now that you're saved, how many of you have sat down to watch a film from the 1960s or so that you watched when you were 10, 11, 12 years old and you thought it was great? And then you watch it and went, "Wow, I don't want my kids seeing that." Amen. This world has never been right. It has never been godly. Are you listening to me? So, in the world we live, I'm not saying that we should, there's nothing in that Bible that says, "Well, we just got to get out of this world." No way. We have to live here. We have to work here. We have to love people. We have to witness to them. We sometimes have to live with them and pick them up and carry them. But we don't have to be like them. Amen. Your life should so reflect the Lord that they want to be like you. That's a high calling. Because who wants to be like me? Let's go on, this thought of what is biblical separation. Christians are different by our new nature. Go back to the left. Go to 2 Corinthians. You know this verse, but let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. You already are different. And I call it different by design. It's not by accident that you're different. Hey, is Joseph different than I am? Come on. You can hurt me. Yes. Amen. He's different than me. Amen. Is my wife different than me? Thank God. Amen. Amen. But we're not talking about a genetic difference. Do you understand? We are different by design, by God. The moment we were saved, we became different. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? All right. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, it says on day 1, God created the heaven and the earth, this outer universe and this planet called earth. And he said, "Cool." He made light, and then he made the land and sea, and he made the birds, and he made grass, and he made trees, and he made man, and he went, "It's good," amen? And then he rested, and he stopped. And then, 2,000 years later, you know what he did? He made a new creature, and then another new creature, and then another new creature, and a whole nother one, and another one, by design. Are you listening? This is not an accident. This is not evolution. This is God. He made you different on purpose. God does not call us to be weird. Let me go back here. God does not call us to be weird, but different. A special kind of different. The Bible word for it is peculiar. A peculiarity that is godly and clean and pure and wholesome and Christ-like. Every time I say something like peculiar, I look at Jim. Yep, man. Christians are different. Why? Because I got a new heart the moment I got born again. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 3 says, "A new heart will I give you. I'll take that stony heart out of there and I'll put a heart of flesh in there." Amen. I'll put a new spirit in there. You know how it happened? Because he moved in. Listen, you take an old house. Brother Dan, we haven't seen their house yet. Brother Dan and Kathy moved into a house. I guarantee you, it'll take on... It'll reflect Kathy. Amen? Kathy will say, "Put that over here, that over here, get that out of here, and you can stay." Amen? But it'll reflect the person who lives there. Amen? And when Jesus Christ moved into your heart, it'll reflect him. Are you listening? Amen. A new heart. We're different by design because he started from the heart outward. Hey, we were born into a different family. What family did we belong to before? You're of your father, the devil. And the lusts of your father you will do. That was me. I did whatever he wanted. I thought I was doing my own thing. And it was his bidding. And I was sick of it. Now I'm doing his bidding. I got a new father. Amen. We're born into a different. And guess what? You're in my family too. Amen, brother. Amen, brother. Isn't that wonderful? These are wonderful terms. Hey, sister. Woo! We're in a family. You're a whole. You say, I'm stuck with these guys. Yes, you are. You're born into a whole new family. And what a family, amen. You couldn't get a better family. All the kind of strangers and weirdos we were before we got saved, and God put us together and made us a family. We now have a different destination, amen. That's where you're predestinated. Where are you going now if you're saved? I'm different by design. There's no guesswork. Well, I hope to be saved. This boy knows it. I know where I'm going. Amen. We're different by design. I got a different diet. Maybe you're on health food. I'm on Bible food. Amen. I live on a different diet than that filthy television. I live on a different diet than 96 FM. I'm on a different diet where I'm feeding on the words of God. I love truth. I love prayer. I love singing praises because that's my sustenance. As a matter of fact, I'll say this. Jesus in John chapter 4, his disciples went to McDonald's and got some food because they were starving, and they came back to him. Jesus had been witnessing to a woman at the well. Remember that? John chapter 4. And when they got up and said, Jesus, aren't you starving? He says, I have meat that you know not whereof. I've been feasting already just by going soul winning. It is thrilling. I'm on a different diet. Amen. Different by design. Hey, I enjoy different thrills. The world may think we're boring. I have more fun than ought to be legal. I just got to travel with my wife and my kids for 4 months across America. Who else gets to do that? You and I are so blessed, and we have more fun. I remember before I was saved, I had to pay so much money to have a little bit of fun. I had to recover from my fun. Anybody else? I just go from now a continual feast. That's what the Bible calls it, amen? I enjoy different thrills, amen? Why? Why should we live differently? Oh, while you're looking here, go to Titus chapter 2. Titus to the right. Before you get to Hebrews, you'll hear a small book called Titus. First and Second Timothy, then Titus. God calls us to live different and to stay different. Can I, before you go there, I'm sorry, I should put this here. Forget Titus for about 30 seconds. Go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter is after Hebrews. I need this verse in here because it'll be one of the concluding thoughts. 2 Peter 2:22, a very important verse. You ought to put a star beside it. 2 Peter 2:22. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit. What's the next word? And the sow, there's your pig flu. And the sow that was washed, she's returned to her wallowing in the mire. Hey, you take a pig. As long as it's a pig, you can wash it. You can put perfume on it. You can put a pink bow on it. Guess where that pig's going? Right back to the muck. Amen. And here's the point. Some of you are wondering why you keep going down to the muck. Why you keep going back to the muck. Why you get all cleaned up and then you're back in the filth. I'm going to tell you there are two reasons. One is either you're not saved and you better evaluate that. Or number two, you just don't take it seriously. You think that God doesn't mind that you continue in sin. But our Bible says, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Those are the strongest words in your Bible. No way, Jose, is how the Spanish version says it. That was a joke. Get out of here. Separation. God calls us to not only be different, but to stay different. And the only way for a pig to stay out of the mire and the muck and the filth and the sewer is for that pig to not be a pig anymore. Amen. I was witnessing to somebody on the plane. I got to talk to him for about 3 hours, I guess. Back and forth we went. And he said, well, you're saying that all the Hindus are wrong and all the Muslims are wrong. And I stopped him and he says, no, sir. I'm saying that everyone is wrong. Everyone is wrong. Every last one of us is wrong. Everyone must be born again. There's nobody that God said, oh, you're a Jew, you're okay. Oh, you're Irish. Oh, you're okay. Oh, no, he says, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. Go through the whole room. We're all lost. We just need to be found. Amen. Yeah, I believe everybody's wrong before they get right. You know, talking about separation. Now you can go to Titus. You know a little bit about separation already. When you got married, you got a little bit separated. You know it. I'm not talking about from her. I'm talking about you had your girlfriends, you had your buddies, you had your schedule, and then you got married. And you had to separate yourself. Amen. Unto your wife. Amen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. When you got hired, and you used to stay in bed, and you used to have your own schedule, and then somebody said, be at work at 8 a.m. You had to separate yourself from the pillow and from your own schedule. You understand a little bit about separation. Separation means, and I'm going to talk about the choice where you say, I have to put some distance. I can't stay up late because I got to be in early. Amen? Do you understand? A sports, and this sports athlete who wants to break a world record, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't drink beer. Did you listen to me? There's not a single athlete who the night before he tries to run the 1,000 meter or try to pole vault and tries to win a record, there's not one on this planet who will drink a beer before he tries to break that record. He puts distance between him and what would hinder him from his goal. Amen? And when a Christian says, I can do this and I can do this and it won't affect that, I'm here to tell you, it does. It ruins our walk with God. It doesn't send anybody to hell. But it sure makes your life like it is hell. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Look at verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. And believe me, He's coming soon. I'm looking forward to it. Verse 14, who gave Himself for us. Is that good or is that good? He gave Himself for us. That He might, I love the word, redeem us. That's a payment. He redeemed us from how much iniquity? You mean Jesus redeemed me from my filthy imagination? Did He redeem me from my constant thievery and my constant lying? He sure did. That He might redeem us from all iniquity, and here's the key words, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. He wants to purify me, make me a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Oh, listen. Go to 1 Peter 2:9. While you're doing that, that He might redeem us to Himself and might purify unto Himself, I'm going to talk this month about being different in so many different ways. I'm just going to mention some of them, make you mad so that you have to come back next week. So you say, I want to hear what he says. Because you're supposed to be the different, I already talked about it, but you're supposed to be different in the way you dress. Amen. Some of you ladies don't care how you dress. Some of you come along and you don't realize us men are red-blooded. And we don't need what you got. I appreciate some of you laughing. But I'm serious, because us men don't want the temptation. We see enough of it already, and I don't need to see it among Christians. And you may not have a thought in your mind that somebody's going to look at me tonight. You may not be thinking that, but I need you to start thinking about it. I wonder if somebody's going to see what they don't want to see. Amen. Have I made anybody mad yet? I know the men are okay. In the way you dress. Amen. Amen. Gentlemen, you too. Don't look like a slob. Good night. Your wife has to live with you. At least let the world think you look good. Amen. The way you walk in this world, among this world, the way you talk. Do the people on the job know that you will not allow a filthy word out of your mouth? Have they seen a difference? How about the way you judge things? Everybody's so quick. I watch... You know, guys are one thing. They'll look up and down. You know, some girl will walk in and they'll glance over. But girls, they're analyzing every piece. Oh, she got that at Dunn. She got that at Roach's. She got that, you know. And they're judging and analyzing. Christians don't do that. The way we judge, oh, They're not here. I bet I know where they are. How Christians judge. How about being different in the way we make promises? You ever make a promise? You better keep them. You make a vow? You better keep it. Christians are different than the world. We don't make a promise and then put on there, if you see me. In the way we love. Do we love to get or do we love to give? Amen? We're to be different in the way we spend our Sundays. Amen? We're fanatics. Amen? I can't wait to get back here tonight. We're not even finished with this morning. Amen? We should be different in the way we spend our Sundays. This isn't my day. Oh, the whole week I've been working. You stinking liar. What'd you do yesterday? Today belongs to the Lord. Amen. We're to be different. People should see you go out of your house, into your car, with your kids, with a Bible under your hand, headed to church on Sunday. Amen. We should be different in the way we raise our families. We don't read. We don't watch Oprah Winfrey to figure out how to take care of our children. We don't learn from the newest books. I got the old book. Amen. It tells me how to raise my family. Amen. How we spend our money. We're supposed to live differently in every way. Now why? 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter 2, 9 says this, but ye are a chosen generation. Hey, that's cool. You know, Pepsi and Coke and all these guys try to snatch the generation. Jesus wants a generation. A special generation. A royal priesthood. And these words are powerful. I don't have time. A holy nation. Not an unholy nation, but a peculiar people. Why? That ye, speaking to us, should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. See the opposites? I need to come out of something and get into something. One more, Revelation 4 and verse 11. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, all the way to the last. Revelation 4, 11, why did you make this world, God? Why did you make me? Look at Revelation 4:11. Got some real great truths. We'll try to get through these, but stay with me. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You ever wonder why things aren't going good for you? Maybe they weren't intended for you. Maybe the trouble is for somebody else to get saved. Maybe the burdens that you bear are for somebody else. But God wants the glory. Amen? Amen. We were created and we were saved for Him. Let me give you three thoughts here about why live separately from this world. By preview, it's because we belong to God. Secondly, simply because God is holy. And thirdly, because we cannot live in two worlds. First of all, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Why live separate, different from this world? See, I'm not just standing up here telling you, you ought to do it, even though that's all I should have to do. It's just what the Bible says. But let me explain why. Three great thoughts. Because you belong to God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. Here's Paul. Paul has some of the most emotive, some of the most descriptive and exciting language when he just goes like my mother. What? Did your mom ever do that? Dad never said anything. He just came in there and killed you. Amen? But he says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Right next to that word price, great price. Amen? Therefore, glorify God in your body. There goes piercings, tattoos. Therefore, glorify God in your body. There goes the long hair the Bible says is shame for a man to wear. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. There go the bad attitudes. There go the pornographic thoughts. There goes anything that might defile. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why? Which are God's. They belong to God. You belong to God. You may not... Oh, hold your... No, keep going. Go to the right. Go to Galatians chapter 1. This is amazing. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. Did you know you belong to God from not just birth? Are you with me? From before you were born. Abortion is about to be booted out of your thought forever. Don't you ever get it. Well, what about if there's incest? What about if it's by this? And what about... Don't you dare give any excuse. Watch your Bible, Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. But when it pleased God, who, here's the word, what is it? Talk to me. Who separated me from my mother's womb. Not from when he was born. That ought to just run shivers down your spine. He wasn't even born yet. He wasn't even saved yet. And God said, I got a job for that guy. He's mine. We belong to God. And your kids, don't you give them to the devil. Don't you let your wife or your husband or your grandparents or anybody be given over to anybody but to God. Every night you're praying for somebody to get saved. God, I give them to you. God, I give them to you. God, I want to bring them to you. I want to watch them humble themselves and cry out to you for salvation. Become your child. I want them back with you. I want these wayward, broken, messed up lives healed and with you. Amen. Because they belong to God. We belong to God. We were created for His glory. We were created for a great purpose, and that was to just please Him. Every part of our bodies, every thought of our hearts ought to be for God. I could take it to Isaiah 49 and Jeremiah 1:5, where both Isaiah and Jeremiah says, before I was born, you called me when I was in the womb. So get this idea how powerful God's possession of you is. Go to 1 Corinthians, go back to the left. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. First Corinthians 10:31, the Bible says this, and you ought to put a star by it. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, underline these words, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Every part of your body, every finger, every toe, every fingernail ought to be for God's glory. Amen. Not for yours. Amen. Every thought of your heart ought to be for God's glory. Go to Psalm 10. We've been fed a lie that only our church time belongs to God. Amen. But every moment of every day, every thought, every act, they all belong to God. Are you listening? Go to Psalm 10, middle of your Bible, the 10th Psalm, and verse 4. Psalm 10, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, of his face, will not seek after God. Watch this. God is not in all his thoughts. That's a tough verse. Every one of my thoughts need to be under control. Every one of our thoughts need to be under control. Hey, I got so much of my Bible that says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Every part of us belong to God. But you know what? Isaiah, take your Bible, turn to Isaiah 53. We got some scriptures to do this morning. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 in verse 6. We all went astray, didn't we? We blew it, didn't we? Say, I've never murdered anybody. You've done enough. All we like sheep have gone astray. Does that leave anybody as out of that? It includes everybody, doesn't it? Isaiah 53:6. All we, just like sheep, have gone astray. We're just following the other sheep. I just did what my dad did. I just did what my friends did. Amen. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And I love the last part. And the Lord has laid on him, Jesus, the iniquity of us all. He had a cure for it all, didn't he? Folks, we went astray, and it was sin. You're still in Isaiah. Go to chapter 59 and verse 2. Isaiah 59. But your iniquities have separated. There's our key word between you and your God. And your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. You ever had a time where God just wasn't listening to you? I can only give you one guess. Only one. Why He wasn't listening and wasn't answering. Sin. Amen. But thankfully, mankind has been purchased back by God. We read that in Titus 2. It says that He might redeem us and purchase us and purify unto Himself a peculiar people. Folks, we belong to God even from before we were born. You belong to God. The devil came along, convinced you, just like he did Eve, you don't need God. Amen. We are His. Now, He bought me back. You ever heard about the little kid who went to the hobby shop, bought a model boat. He went down, he took it home, and he built it. And it's this beautiful sailboat. And it was took him weeks to build. He went down to the river, and he let it float in there. And all of a sudden, it flew out. He had a string on it, and it was floating around. And he lost control of the string. And the thing went out there, and then went down the stream. And he crying all the way home. He couldn't run after it. It was just gone. The stream was running too fast. He went home. Devastated. He had just built it, just playing with it, thought he could hold on to it, gone. A few days later, there's a kid down there playing on the same river with a boat and a string, and it was his. He went over and said, "That's mine." He said, "It's not, it's mine. I found it. If you want it, it'll be $10. You know what he did? He reached into his pocket, and he paid the second time for that boat. It was his, wasn't it? Amen. You know what Jesus did? He made us. We went astray. Somebody else owned us for a little while, but Jesus came along and says, "I'll buy him back." And he didn't pay $10. He paid it all. Paid it in precious blood. We belong to God. Secondly, God is holy. Go to first. Why be separated? Because I'm His. Secondly, because He's holy. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, and also find 1 John chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, and then just a few pages on to 1 John. 1 Peter 1 and verse 15. But as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In how much? In all manner of conversation. Now, conversation is one of those wonderful Bible words. It means everything. Means everything you do. Did you know right now, even though I'm preaching, Dan is speaking. His body language. I went out of here. I'm starving. Would he ever finish? He's just speaking, amen. It's his conversation. You know body language. You've seen it. And we should be holy even though we ain't talking. Amen. In all manner of conversation. Why? Because He's holy. Amen. What an awful hypocrite. If we claim to be Christian, if we name the name of Christ, and we're not like Christ. What an awful hypocrisy. It's just simply because He's holy. Go to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 in verse 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. You got a Ouija board in your home, you need to burn it. Don't give it away. Don't sell it. Burn it. He's light, and He has no darkness at all, and there shouldn't be like that in your home. Amen? You got tarot cards left over from when you were unsaved. You got magazines, records from when you were unsaved. We had one guy, he had thousands of euros of CDs from when before he got saved. He says, "They're priceless. You could never replace them." Did they help you one day? No. Can't I sell them? I said, let it be on your conscience. Somebody else is enjoying it when they should be saved. In Him is no darkness at all. You need to look at your life and say, why should I be holy? Because there's no darkness in Him. There shouldn't be darkness in my home. Amen. Hey, let me say this. Your relationship with Jesus Christ should be changing you, never leaving you the same. salvation and sanctification will always make you more and more like Jesus. Your thought life ought to be cleaner today than it was last year. Are you listening? Your heart ought to be fuller and more joyful than it was this time last year. Your tongue ought to be more controlled than it was this time last year. You should always be more holy as you grow in the Lord. And you know, you'll tell somebody is more holy, not because they're sort of levitating, you know. That doesn't show that you're more holy. It's when you think nothing of yourself and only of others and only of Him. And you think about what you're doing, whether it'll hurt somebody or help them, whether it will encourage them or it'll bring them down, whether you're pleasing unto God or not. Next time you pick up that cigarette, say, Lord, I dedicate this cancer stick to you. I consecrate it. I set it apart under your glory, and then realize, can't do it. Amen. Amen. You need to pick up things and start saying, I dedicate this to God. I separate myself from what used to pull me down so that I lift Him up. Lastly, because you cannot live in two worlds. We have the great tendency of neglecting God's purpose and design for us, and we end up glorifying the wrong world. Most people, by the time they get saved, have given most of their money away to every wrong crowd. Amen? They have invested and they poured their money into everything thinking they were finding life, and it was all a waste and they can't get it back. People will end up glorifying and worshiping movie stars, filthy musicians, filthy authors of books that should never be read. People end up worshiping, I'm talking about Christians even worshiping money and possessions. When the stock market goes down, so does their attitude. Amen? And they're worried about retirement. They're worried about the car. And they're worried about everything except, am I right with God? God calls this world unworthy of our love and our worship. It's unworthy of all of your attention. How much attention do you give to yourself and to the world that belongs to God? We are objects of God's great love. Go to Ephesians. Go back to the left and find Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know if you realize this, but you... who was I talking to? Oh, I was talking to somebody. In the book of Ephesians, it talks about there in chapter 1, in verse 4, it says, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. But I was talking to him and he said, okay, well, I guess, you know, God likes us. And I said, no, you gotta understand. Before God ever created anything, He thought of us. Before He even founded the world, He said, Romika, cool. I love that thought. And when He made the world, He never got excited about it. He got excited about Romika enjoying the world. Enjoying a family. Growing up, and before the foundation of the world, He thought of you in love. That blows me away. Look at chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, none of us were good enough for His love. None of us earned His love. None of us ever could ever get His attention, even with all of our greatness. It was just because He was rich in mercy. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together where? In heavenly places, because we're in Christ Jesus. Why? Why did He save us? Look at verse 7. This is absolutely amazing. That in the ages to come, and that's a long time, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So a couple of billion years from now, God's going to say, hey, is it worn off yet, Joseph? Joseph say, oh, it's still good. And He says, I still got something else to show you. Come with me, Joseph. I want to show you just how kind I was back there. Let me show you what it's like over here. Let me show you how great are my works over here. Let me just blow your mind one more time. And for the ages to come, God will just shower love and kindness and mercy on us forever and ever. You cannot live in this world when you've got such a world coming. I am here. I'm in this world. But what's the other part of the phrase? But I'm not of this world. Amen. No longer. Somebody said it this way. If God does not have all of us, it hurts Him. Because He's jealous. He's jealous. He wants us for that world. You may be going through hell on earth right now. This is a vapor. This is the passing of a day compared to eternity. So the Lord says, follow me. He said it to Peter. Peter, follow me. And Peter got all upset. Well, what about John? And Jesus said, don't worry about John. Just follow thou me. Peter, you're going to go where you don't want to go. Just follow me. Amen. You'll be in good company if you just keep your eyes and your heart on Him. God demands our separation from wicked places, wicked practices, and wicked people. You got friends who every time you're around them, they get you doing stupid things. They talk to you about stuff that you should never hear about. You know, God says, break it. Say bye-bye. I'll show you a verse next week. Go ahead, where it says, hey, blessed are you when the world separates themselves from you. You see, we're always afraid of going to somebody and saying, I can't hang out with you anymore. You're evil. That's pretty hard to do, amen? But all you have to do is you start living godly. You start carrying gospel tracts and says, hey, I want you to come to church. I want you to get saved. I want you to know Jesus Christ. You know what they're going to do? Bye! Amen? It pays to be peculiar, amen? Amen. You can't live in two worlds. You're going to have to choose which world you live in. God is pure and holy and righteous. And my Bible says the wages of sin is? All right. You want to live long? Learn separation. Learn what needs to be put a distance between. Amen. You just put a gap there. You say, nope, not going to go that route. You used to do that? Now, real simple. How to live separate without going out of the world. How you do this? Number one, by choice. James 4. We read it. James 4 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Amen. By choice. It's called repentance. God's choice was to draw you and I close to Himself. Our choice must be to go ahead and draw close to Him. It involves putting distance between you and this world. I don't have time to take you. Leviticus chapter 20 says you need to know what is holy and what is profane or filthy. Amen? You ought to know it. And let me tell you, it ain't that hard to figure out. Because when you got saved, the Holy Spirit was in there, and the Holy Spirit, like only He could, said, eh-eh. And you just kept going, but I want to. And so He went, okay. You need to ask for that Holy Spirit one more time to speak to you and says, where do I need to break the chain? You need to know what is good and clean and wholesome and what is filthy and dirty and wrong in your life. I'm not asking anybody to go around and say, well, I know what's wrong in your life. We're not that way. You deal with you. Let a man examine himself, the Bible says. We're going to have the Lord's Supper here in another, I don't know if it's going to be next week. I want it to be next week. When we have it, it's time for you to examine yourself and get right with God and be able to say, Lord, I hate this in my life. And I want to be free from it. I want to separate myself from it. I don't want to even be tempted by it. Amen. By choice. I can't make that choice for you. Hey, in this church, we don't have drums. You know why? Because I don't want the temptation of the flesh. We were in another church. Should I tell a story? And they were singing to God. It's a worship team. It was wrong. This one blonde, they're always blonde. This one blonde just sitting there swaying. It was a nightclub. Amen? You know why I don't have it? Because I'm not going to allow it. Amen? You may want it, but it's never going to be here. Amen. I'm going to protect you as far as I can, but I made that choice. You better make some choice so when you go home, you don't have the same filth. Amen? Do you understand? It's a choice. It's a choice. Secondly, it's a choice to draw near to God, choice to insulate our lives, and to control. Listen, I can't control what you think. That's you. Would you start going, that doesn't belong there, that doesn't belong there. Wow, where'd that come from? Get it out. Amen? Secondly, by constant cleansing. You see, you're always going to be struggling here. Making choices and realizing that you've done wrong and realizing you've let thoughts in your mind and attitudes and actions. So you need cleansing. It happens first when you get your record clear in heaven. Don't rejoice. Even if you had the power to raise the dead, I wouldn't get excited about it. Jesus said, get excited. Your names are written down in heaven and your record is clear. Woo! That is the first and most important cleansing you need. It's the new birth. Then you need to constantly read and meditate on God's Word. Constant cleansing. If you're not in that book every day, you're falling apart. You just go. Just if you've gone a week without reading, I want to see you go a week without eating. We go 6 hours without eating and we're a monster. Yeah. Ah, where's my dinner? Starving! Amen. You wonder why you're a nutcase and why you're bitter and angry on the job, whatever, because you haven't read your Bible. Now are ye clean through the word which I've spoken unto you, John 15:3. John 17:17, Jesus prayed and he said, Father, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is to sanctify them. Help them. You need that book. I mean, you say, I'm reading Second Chronicles, man. I mean, there are 4,000 names in there. Not one of them's Craig. You're reading through that, some of the, there are some gems in there. But let me tell you, read it. Read it. It's the book of life. You get through, hardest book for me is Ezekiel, man. It's like an eternity going through it, but I get through. Because God wrote it and he says, read it, Ledbetter. Amen. You need it. You need constant cleansing. Then you need to quickly confess and apologize for all transgressions. Don't keep long accounts. You know what that means? You know, remember when you went to the shop and you'd say, listen, I'll pay you tomorrow? And it was 3 weeks later? Huh? Remember? You know what we do? We hurt somebody and then we sort of say, oh, I'll deal with them later. You know what you need to do? You need to be quick to confess. Amen. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Didn't mean it. Listen, I'm sorry. Amen. You need to do that towards God. Quick to confess. And then claim the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. I wish we had time. Hebrews 9 says, hey, the blood of bulls and goats and sheep and lambs, they cleanse the outer skin of a transgression. But how much more shall the blood of Christ purge our conscience, our guilt from dead works so we can serve the living God? You need to start claiming that cleansing power of the eternal blood of Christ. Wash every sin away. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin? Amen. Third, 2 Corinthians 7, and this is our last verse. 2 Corinthians 7. You better fear God. Only by the fear of the Lord do men depart from evil. Not because of smooth speaking. Amen? See, I can't scare any of you. Amen? I can't put the fear of God in you. But you need it. Because only by fearing God Almighty will you go, I better not. Amen? I better get rid of this. I better not say that. I better stop watching that. Amen? Only look at your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, powerful verse. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us. God has already cleansed your record in heaven. He says, now you are free to cleanse yourself on earth. You can break the bond. He says, let us cleanse ourselves from how much filthiness? All filthiness of the flesh. And what's the other part? Woo, that's where your attitudes are, your thoughts. Your heart and spirit, perfecting what? All right, I'm going to be doing that till the day I die. Perfecting holiness, but always in the fear of God. We were in West Texas, driving along, and the car is packed. It's hot out. We're trying to get, I forget how long we had traveled, and we just come into Texas, and I'm driving along, and there's this police, special kind of police car up ahead. And this police officer, pull over. It was a border patrol. I don't know if you understand, but in America, the border patrol has more authority than the police department because they're watching for people come across the border illegally and so on and so forth. And I told all the kids, I said, don't say a word. And I, afterwards, listen, the guy came up, he says, and he asked me, he says, are you transporting any humans? And he's looking around the car, where are you from? And he is, listen, that guy has the authority to say, get out of the car, get on the ground, he can handcuff us and put us away, and there's nobody can get us out of prison or jail or whatever. If he has a suspicion, he can strip our car looking for drugs and contraband. We had it packed. I just was thinking, Lord, I'm yours. Don't let this guy think that we've got drugs or whatever, because all of our luggage is so packed. And if they wanted to go through our luggage, we could waste a whole day. They have the right to do that. And as we pulled away, I said, guys, that's the fear of God. When somebody has every right and you can't fight them, and you just smile and say, yes, sir, that's the fear of God. Where you say, Lord, you're watching me. You have the right to do whatever you need to or want to. I'm yours, and I ain't going to fight. Amen. And you see, don't think about Pastor Craig telling you to put the cigarettes away. Don't think about Pastor Craig saying, get rid of the pornography on your television and on your internet. Don't think about Pastor Craig telling you, you know, have to do this and this. Let God tell you what to do. And He will. As long as you have the fear of God. What is biblical separation? I already did all that. Conclusion. We're supposed to be living different by design. There's nobody in this room who say, well, cool, man, we're going to be a different church, man. We're going to walk like this, you know. I'm going to wear my hoodie, you know, and we're going to go like this every time we meet each other. You know, that's how Christians are, you know. You know, there's all kinds out there. I was reading there's 17,000 different, quote, branches of religion and even thousands of Christians and stuff like that. I mean, we're different by design. We're not just weird. Are you listening? All right? Nobody's coming in here in order now to be refashioned into a specific mold except to be like Jesus. Amen? And it's His design. I'm calling you this month to stay different. As we make decisions this month, that 3 years from now, 10 years from now, we still have the same. And I'm going to talk about convictions. I'm talking about making decisions where you say, I have a conviction against doing that. I have a conviction about keeping my word. I have a conviction about the King James Bible. I have a conviction about never tasting one drop of drink. I have convictions, and you need them too. We're going to talk to that. But I want that whatever convictions you make this month and decisions you make, you keep. God is a God of separation. Aren't you glad heaven is a little different than hell? He's a God of difference. I'm glad He's different. He's not like the gods of this world. Amen. We've learned what is biblical separation. We've learned that we should live separate from this world. We finally learned how to live separate without going out of the world. It starts with a choice. But the first choice you need is to follow Jesus, to be born again. Let's stand and let's, every head bowed, every eye closed. Have you made that choice? Did you make that decision where you said, hey, I've lived my life my way, and now I live it your way. I'm lost, but I want to be found. I was blind, but now I see. Have you been born again? If you haven't been born again, today is a good day. So how do you do it, Brother Ledbetter? Very simple. You admit you're a sinner. You acknowledge and agree with God that you are not perfect. And that you'll never be perfect. You'll never measure up. Just admit it. Then secondly, you need to fear that because of that, you're going to be separated from God for all eternity. It's called hell. You're going to be in torment for the rest of eternity. You have sinned against an eternal God. You will be punished for eternity. But thirdly, you need to realize that God doesn't want that. There is a bridge that's out just ahead of your life. And God's trying to wave you down saying, don't go that broad way. Do not go over that ledge. Do not die without my son. And so he offers you Jesus. He says, if you will take Jesus, I'll take you. Isn't that wonderful? What an exchange. If you'll take Jesus. I'm not telling you you need to go to communion. I'm not telling you you need to pray all these fancy prayers. I'm just telling you, you need Jesus Christ. And what's amazing, he's right near you. He'll come into your heart if you'll just ask him. But you got to want him, and I mean desperately want him. It's not a flippant prayer. It's a desperate prayer. God, have mercy on me, a sinner, and save me. Have you ever prayed that prayer? If you've prayed and asked the Lord to save you sometime in the past, if you know for sure that Jesus is your Savior, not just on the wall, but in your heart, put your hand up, put it down. Just put it up, put it down. Nobody looking around. If you know you're saved, amen. If you could not raise your hand, talk to me, please. Don't go out of here the same. Don't go out of here without knowing that Jesus loves you and wants you and died for you and can save you now and free you from your sin in hell. And Christian, amazing what Jesus did for you at salvation. He's not finished yet. He wants to do something in your sanctification now. He wants to do something by getting you free from sin and its grip on you by separating yourself from it. He's trying to pull you, but you got to let go. And we're going to talk about that. You're going to need to make some new friends. You're going to need to make some new commitments. You're going to need to make Sunday all day the Lord's day so that you're not messing around with the old friends and getting into trouble. You're going to need to get involved in all the different things that are going on so that you stay close to God. You're going to need, when we pick up that hymnal in just a few minutes, you're going to need to sing with all your heart instead of laying back because you're separating yourself from apathy. You're separating yourself from fear and you're separating yourself unto God. Christian, you willing to do that? Father, please bless these thoughts, this message, and this month in Jesus' name. Amen.